From State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
This is Carmen and Yurko, the Chicago White Sox opening day live broadcast, leading you up to the start of the White Sox home campaign on ESPN Chicago. Brought to you by Circa Sports and presented by Miller Lite.
It's baby tailgates.
Yeah. All right, we're live with Miller Lite and Circa Sports at Court and Carry at the Park. Opening day on the south side, Sox and Tigers at 3:10, 2:30 pregame right here in your home for White Sox baseball. It's Carmen and Yurk. Brooks Boyer from the White Sox is with us. He came bearing gifts. I tried the new wings.
They're good.
They're very good.
They're phenomenal.
And they got a little kick, but not too much, which
right,
is the way I like
they
it.
They got a little wing
it's just
bang
a
doodle.
Perfect amount of heat. Those are the new wings. Now, are those at Shy Sox Bar and Grill only?
Okay. Shy Sox Bar and Grill.
So those are at the Bar and Grill. Those are new. Black and Abdallah were at the fun last week when you guys had the media out for all the new food, and they reported back and said there's a lot of good stuff. That milkshake thing. I gotta
try that milkshake
the
today.
Campfire milkshake.
Oh my
it's
god.
It's outstanding.
I was watching WGN this morning too. You guys got the spicy chicken sandwiches with the little doohickey on there, competing against all the chicken sandwiches that are out there in the world nowadays.
Listen, everybody likes a little doohickey.
Yep.
You know,
they like something in there, Brooks.
What's your favorite new thing for the 2024?
Those wings are really good, but that milkshake is amazing. And then club level smash burgers are
club level.
I'm a traditional guy, so that's something that's really really good.
Club level only?
It's club level only.
All
so,
right.
But it's worth it. April, May. It's a little chilly.
I'm with you. Club level's the way to go.
It's the way to go.
And I love a good smash burger. And what are these? These are new sandwiches.
So these are walking. They're called the walking sticks.
The walking
different sticks. Types of these are in the sweets.
Oh my god!
And they're different types of just walk around. Just crush.
That's arugula on there.
Look at these. This has got like a chutney in it. Look at that. Everybody on YouTube can see. Roast beef?
Arugula.
Roast beef.
All right, I'm going to try roast beef. Hold on.
Right. Get after it.
Can I get after this?
Yeah, go ahead. Get after it.
Can I eat on the air?
Yeah.
You go ahead and eat on the air. So the challenge is then to always make the fan experience that much better.
Yes, sir.
And the food has always been exceptional at guaranteed rate.
That's good.
But it seems like you guys have started to kick this thing up a notch.
Well, I mean, we have to. We can be honest about all this. We have to. You can't control what happens when grown men have a round ball and a round bat on a field.
Right.
But we can do whatever we can to make the fan experience great every time people walk in. Obviously, we're known for our food and beverage options, and this is something that we always want to continue to raise our bar and try to provide a unique experience for everybody, whether it's food, giveaways, seats, different types of experience. Anytime you come to the ballpark, it should never be the same thing every time.
When do you guys start thinking about that? Like right after the season ends? I mean, do you immediately start going into, hey, what can we do different next year?
Ironically, we were talking this morning about what could we introduce at All-Star Break.
Really?
Yeah, so Ross Miranda was our head of food and beverage, along with Levy and with Delaware North. So you're sampling food from Levy and Delaware North. They talk about this type of stuff all the time of what. But we also listen to fans. What are fans looking for? You'll find throughout the concessions, we heard a lot of people talking about impossible foods. So on top of having what we think is the best hot dog with Vienna beef in the ballpark, now we have an impossible dog.
So
we have impossible
that.
Burgers. Those are throughout the entire ballpark. So we're always looking, and there's a balance between what people actually eat and what a Texas State Fair looks like.
Right.
Like, a four-pound cheese stick probably doesn't work.
Right.
But it'd be pretty cool.
It would be. So, I like the walking stick idea because it's nice and neat. You can literally walk around the park. This is delicious, by the way, the roast beef and arugula.
It just depends how you eat. The other one's got pretzel bread and ham on it.
I know. I love that, too. So. Besides just the food, what else do you guys think about, Brooks, in terms of what can we do to continue to make – because the fan experience has always been great, whether the team's good or bad. And it's going to be a tough year, wins and losses-wise. We know that. But, the fan experience is good, and it is a draw. Like, what other things do you guys always think about that is going to be appealing for fans, especially for kids? Because that's one thing I've always said about the ballpark. Like, the amenities, stuff for kids to do, getting around where it's not super compact and tight. Like, that's something that not all ballparks can or will offer.
Right, and we do. Obviously, we offer a lot for kids. When they come to the game, they don't want to sit and watch a nine-inning baseball game. That's not a thing anymore. So to have activities, have things to do, to be able to walk around, to be able to comfortably walk around. You know, your kids are now of age where they say, hey, can I go take a lap? Yeah, go take a lap, see what's going on. So that's always great for kids. But for adults, we revamped our VisiView bar where it's a much better experience for fans to go up there. Completely remodeled the Liney Craft Lodge. So if you want to go get some craft beers and have a little bit different experience, that is always there. So we're always looking for small ways to make the experience that much better.
I love the you got to be living the high life, I guess. You know,
yeah.
I'm not just talking about Miller High Life.
Right.
But when you get off on the suite levels and you got the this has been a few years now, but it's a wonderful addition. The little Jack Daniel's cocktail bar.
Yeah.
And they make a good old fashioned.
Yes.
Like they really do like that. And that's a great touch. Stuff like that, like next level little touches like that.
Well, I mean, whether it's the bars, we have introduced more bars for people who aren't beer drinkers. But, we're always looking for little ways to make the experience unique. And on the suites, absolutely having that bar on the suite level. They can turn it up a notch for them.
I happen to have the pleasure of watching Channel 9 this morning when the young lady from Delaware North was doing her spiel with everybody out there. 80 options for IPAs and craft beers.
Craft beers.
80 options.
You can go from basically water to cement.
Yeah.
Whatever you need.
80 options, Carm. I mean, I know you're thinking about the children all the time, but what about the adults that are taking the children to the game?
80 options.
Every once in a while, they want to have their one or two and be responsible because they might be driving home. But having 1,000 options on what you might want to drink, adult beverages is beautiful.
You guys have Miller Lite supporting this, and we have partners in Miller who have a wide range. But even as the exclusive partner with us, in largest domestic partner with us, they want our experience. They understand the experience that we want to have. So whether it's Miller or Modelo or any of the crafts, a lot of local options, it's something that people want. We pride ourselves on the food and beverage or the food, but we said let's make the beverage experience great too, and that's what people are finding.
You have no control over the schedule and the schedule makers, and I know you got to walk a fine line sometimes with some of this, but the Braves in April, it's like, come on, man.
I know. Such a talented team. People want to see them.
Yes!
And, it may be 45 and raining on one of those days.
Can't they send them here in July, for crying out loud?
You do ask. Now, we do get the Dodgers in the summer.
The Dodgers are
coming
in June.
Yankees are in the summer.
The Yankees and the Cubs are on the same homestand, I think, right?
So we sometimes you have to sacrifice them. They're going to be in once every other year now with a balanced schedule. But, you'd like to have the Stars be in the summer, but, sometimes it breaks this way for you.
It is good that they kind of tweak that schedule, though, isn't it?
You don't
need 11 home dates, like, against the Royals. I mean, you just don't, right?
Yeah.
Like, to have a team like the Braves, a team like the Padres, a team like the Dodgers that you're not always going to get to see from the NL, like, I do think that's important. I'm glad baseball changed that.
Yeah, because now they're coming in every other year.
Every other year,
If you have a favorite player, if they're obviously American League, they're going to be here.
Right.
But if it's a National League team and you want to see the White Sox play against that guy, he's going to be in every 2 years.
I think that's great. Any new ticket packages for the year?
Our 10-game plans seem to be really interesting to people because you get to kind of pick your 10 games that you want to go to. Obviously, we have 20-game plans, 40-game plans, full-season plans. All those are available. And hopefully what I think fans will see, and you guys I'm sure are talking about it, 14 new players this year.
Yeah.
This team is hopefully going to look different, play different from what we saw last year. And obviously, Chris and his team have identified what they feel will represent the White Sox and White Sox fans the best.
Do you notice, like, even on the business side of things, Brooks? Like, do you guys notice a different sort of feeling, a vibe. There have been a lot of additions to the front office that Chris has brought in. Last year just wasn't fun for anybody by the end. Like, do you notice a different vibe?
There certainly there's a, with all new leadership on the baseball side, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, whether it's, you know, Brian Bannister or, you know, any of the guys, Josh Barfield, and any of these guys, Paul Janisch, any of these guys that come in, what I seem like is that you're getting ideas and thoughts from different organizations, because so many guys are coming in from different experiences. You look at a Josh Barfield. He came in. He helped build that farm system in Arizona, which is super impressive. So, you know, hopefully things got to go right. And you got to play the game the right way, and that's what we anticipate our teams being able to do.
What kind of great promotions? The usual fun. We got Elvis Night again this year. And
all sorts of promotions.
Halfway to Christmas.
All sorts of ethnic days and group days. Giveaways are amazing. On Saturday we have an amazing hoodie.
Oh,
that,
really?
That we're giving away. So, WhiteSox.com.
Yeah.
Best place to go. But it's not better than Cork right now.
Yeah,
you guys
this is out of control.
They're all here to see you guys,
right? Of course. Oh. What else would they be here for?
They're here to see the Sox. Let's face it.
Cole Miller Lite and Carmen and Yurko.
Yeah, we just happen to be here.
Not a bad day for opening day. We'll take this. Yeah.
Could have been worse.
Skies are blue. Tickets are still available.
Tickets
so people can come out. But, yeah, you know, when you see 50 and sun on an opening day, especially March 28th, sign me up.
Amen. All right, but WhiteSox.com, tickets, all the promotional stuff. People can find all that online, obviously. New food is always great. What else? Hot chicken sandwich. Look at all this. What's
I don't
here?
Know what that one is. It's good. That hadn't been unleashed yet.
Oh, come on.
Nachos,
now.
Carm.
With
steak
with, like,
nachos.
Steak nachos?
Yes.
You guys are killing
me. So
get after all of this.
Just hold on, everyone get on the doohickey. You got to get the doohickey. Got to get stuff with doohickeys.
That's what, if you get the doohickey, you're in the right place, right time.
Everybody loves
about.
A good doohickey. All right, Brooks, thanks for bringing food.
Well,
thanks for coming by, as always.
You get tickets on the doohickey, too.
Yes, you can get everything on the doohickey. Have a great season.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, good
I appreciate
luck.
All the support. And it's always
luck,
great
kid.
To have a flagship station like ESPN 1000. You guys do amazing
great
work.
Great to be partners with you guys.
So great.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brooks.
You.
All right, there's Brooks Boyer from the White Sox. Lots of great new food options. Tickets available still for today as well, but WhiteSox.com all season long. It is jam-packed here at Cork and Carey. We got more to do. We'll play McKnight at the Movies next. Jesse will join us live in Philly to talk Cubs and Sox coming up at 2. We're off the air at 2:30, a little early today. Connor's going to start the pregame at 2:30 for opening day. We'll be right back.
Getting you ready for baseball coming up at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Welcome back to Carmen the Good Kid on ESPN Chicago.
Brought to you by Circus Sports and presented by Miller Lite.
McKnight at the Movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko, only on ESPN Chicago.
All right, time for McKnight at the Movies. It's brought to you by the fine folks from the Village of Elmwood Park. The winner today gets a gift card to Cafe Cubano. That place is awesome. Great Cuban sandwiches. These are pot roast nachos, by the way. That
are they good?
Brought. Oh, my God. Try those. They're ridiculous.
I hope somebody eats this stuff.
Yeah, look,
I mean, there's
around.
A ton of
Scotty,
stuff up
Viking
there.
Scott's here. Take a sandwich.
My guy from the 10th Ward is here, Peter
we can't
Chico.
All just pass the sandwich around and take a bite.
Well, this one's new. This one I said he could have. It's fresh.
Well, let's rip it in half.
Let's do that.
All right. You can do it.
You can cut it in half.
No, pass it around the bar. Just have
everybody take a bite.
Everyone take a lick.
COVID's over.
In the old days.
You're telling me it's all good.
All right, let's play McKnight at the Movies. Connor was just over here for a little while talking Sox, but he did do a McKnight at the Movies for us. So let's fire away. We'll play along with you. First correct caller will win the gift card to Cafe Cubano in Elmwood Park. 312-332-3776. That's the number you have to dial. Got to be opening day related, right? It's got to be baseball related.
Yeah, you would think so.
All right, let's see what happens. Here we go. McKnight at the Movies, part one.
Our scene opens as one door closes and another one opens. Literally. I mean, we've got an office and a woman, after asking a very serious question of her lawmaker boss, which he brushes off, has just walked out one door and a man has entered the other. The lawmaker, dismayed and waiting on a couch in the well-appointed space, is our main. A paunchy, middle-aged guy has come into the room. They've been having a conversation, piecemeal, it seems, and they pick up where they left off. Thing of it is, the paunchy guy has moved on from the original story and picked up on the perilous stuff we caught at the top. He's been listening. He's offered some well-meaning advice about the sticky situation, but our main is not happy. His anger rises. The paunchy guy stays calm. And now we got a bit of a showdown.
I got it.
You got it. I don't think I ever saw it,
well,
so that would be a difficult one for me to get. But I think you're in the right direction.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we got a nodding affirmation out of Mr. Bleck up there.
It's a fun scene with two very good actors. One, like...
Two heavyweights?
Yeah. Yes.
Carm's right. Yeah. He's right.
I'm surprised you got this so quickly, yeah. Carm.
I got it. I like the movie. It's a great scene. And one of the actors, unfortunately, is no longer with us, but is in, like, one of the greats of the last 25 years. That's how good he is. All right, here we go. Bit on our actors.
A bit on our actors. Our main is a who's who. If there's a Hollywood Mount Rushmore of the last 30 years, he's probably on it. Six noms, two statues will do that for you. The punchy guy is widely regarded as one of the finest actors of his time. Range like Caitlin Clark. He's got a statue of his own and was gone too soon. The woman who asked the question at the top of the scene is also incredible. Six noms and probably the best Lois Lane we've seen. Also in the movie, but not in the scene, Otis, Vivian Ward, Queen Victoria, Claude Dumais, and Ray Boutani.
Strong cast all the way around. Lots of Oscar noms and wins for the main crew. All right, here's part three.
Back to our scene. Paunchy has come clean about his eavesdropping. It was high-tech stuff for the 80s, and par for the course considering he works for the company, but still, our main didn't see it coming, even if it was on a nice bottle of scotch. The honesty about the surveillance helps de-escalate the situation. Here in D.C., honesty has a way of leveling the playing field. We don't see it often. This is the start of a relationship between these two men. They and a group of others will help fund a revolution that pushed back the communists, but had its own dire consequences in decades to come. It's a better movie than its theatrical success would lead on, but then it's a Sorkin, so that makes sense.
All right, and we have a winner. How quick did somebody get it, Charlie?
The second caller got it, Joe and Aurora.
Yeah, Joe and Aurora is the winner.
Joe
so
and
congrats.
Aurora, go ahead, Joe. What is that movie?
Charlie Wilson's War.
It is Charlie Wilson's War. Pretty good movie, true story, obviously, or at least closely resembling some true facts. And Joe, congratulations. We'll send you that gift card. Make sure the guys have all your info. You will be dining at Cafe Cubano. It's fantastic. And here is the reveal.
Will Crystal back up your story that you weren't using?
Just go put out the statement.
You know what? You never should have been in the same room, Congressman.
Goff! Yeah, the Swiss make an anti-aircraft gun called the Oerlikon.
Listen, Charlie.
20-millimeter cannon, high rate of fire.
I know the Oerlikon. Don't forget the limo driver.
What do you mean?
Oh, you took a limo from the casino to the airport, maybe. It's easy enough to track down a limo driver, hand him a subpoena, ask him if anything was going on in the back seat. So, you know, in terms of cleaning up this...
Were you listening at the door?
I wasn't listening at the door.
Were you standing at the damn door listening to me? How could you even... That's a thick door! You stood there and you listened to me?
I wouldn't stand at the door. Don't be an idiot. I bugged the scotch bottle.
What?
It's got a little transmitter on it. I got a little thing in my ear. Get past it.
Don't believe this. Who the fuck are you?
It's not in my ear right now. Take it easy. I was going to tell you about it, but I had to leave the room for a second because you were getting indicted.
Oh, you're getting indicted. Is there a camera in here?
It's a little paranoid.
That's right. Will you take the bug off my scotch bottle now?
Sure.
Love Philip Seymour Hoffman. All right, there you go. Charlie Wilson's War, another great McKnight at the movies. What's the tie-in for opening day to Charlie Wilson's War?
The email, I believe, said because he wanted to.
Oh, all right, good.
Because
sometimes,
he wanted to.
Sometimes Connor just wants to.
Yeah,
that's fine by me.
Tie-in.
But I'm
no
like,
tie-in.
Wait a minute, what would the tie-in be? With
I don't believe there was a tie-in.
There's only so many baseball movies that are out there, I guess.
Right. That's a good point, and he's done a lot of them already. So, all right, Charlie Wilson's War on an opening.
I'm watching the trailer right now. I'm going to be honest, I have never seen it.
It's a pretty good movie, actually. Yeah, it is.
Here, come with you. I've never seen it.
Never seen it?
No.
Very good cast. The Julia Roberts is in it. Amy Adams, obviously Hanks and Philip Seymour Hoffman. It is a strong ensemble, and it's pretty good. You know, and it's mostly about.
Said it's based on a true story.
Well, he was, and I don't know how true it follows the actual events, but he was a little known congressman from Texas that was basically the driving force of our aiding of the Taliban to defeat the Soviets in Afghanistan in the 80s. That's basically the premise of the movie. Philip Seymour Hoffman plays the CIA agent that he works with, where they find a way to get guns and munitions to the Taliban to defeat the Soviet Union when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan in the '88, whenever it was.
Yeah,
that's what it's based about. I'm, you know, and how true it is, you never know. But that's what it's based about his life and his time in Congress when he did that. So it's interesting. It's worth the watch. And there you go. We appreciate Connor doing McKnight at the movies for us, even when he's got a busy day over at the ballpark for opening day. Man, this place is jumping, dude. It's lively in here at Court and Carey.
Yeah,
you can come by and
we
see
got a
us.
Ton here, kid. We got a ton here.
We do.
But did I tell you the 10th Ward Alderman is here? Peter
no,
Chico?
I did not
know
that.
Yeah, he's here getting things done.
Well, it's like a who's who.
He's a Southsider.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's Southsiders got to be here.
Southsiders have to be
That's
here.
That's the way it works.
It is it's a who's who. Jesse will join us live in Philly to talk more baseball coming up in about 35, 40 minutes. He had an interesting little nugget yesterday with Waddle and Sylvie, and Tyler was in for Sylvie yesterday, about what's happening with the Shohei stuff and what their investigative team at ESPN is working on and what they're trying to dig up. And they find it curious that charges have not been, at least to anybody's knowledge, have not been filed against the interpreter. You either stole $4.5 million or you didn't.
Yeah.
I mean,
right?
It's a bizarre story, to
right?
say the least, and I still don't know where I fall necessarily. I'm not sure I totally believe Shohei, unfortunately.
The simplest explanation is usually the right explanation.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Is that Murphy's Law? No, that's Occam's Razor, I think. Right, Yurko? Yeah.
Occam's Razor.
Murphy's Law is anything that can happen will happen or something, right? Yeah, Occam's Razor. Yurko's right. I think you might be right, and I still don't know that I totally believe what Shohei is selling right now. But Jesse will kind of update on all that coming up a little bit later on. There's not, you know, I feel like, I don't want to say, I got to figure out how to put this.
I'm listening.
I can talk football anytime.
Right.
I'm starting to become like a little exhausted because now we pretty much know what's happening here.
Right.
The Bears have traded Justin Fields.
Except
Caleb
nine.
Williams.
Except with nine. I mean, nine
that's
is
true.
The, nine
that's
is the
true.
Story.
The nine is the story.
One's no longer the story. One, but you kind of know what's happening.
In a normal year, we
yeah.
would still be breaking down nine.
Nine.
When,
yes.
What's going on at nine?
Yes.
Who's
yeah.
available? What
yeah.
do the pro days look like?
Maybe that has to be the pivot now because I'm
yeah.
starting to get a little
yeah.
exhausted with the Caleb stuff.
Yeah, we know
right?
that story.
Yeah, what like, moves you out of nine? That's what you got to ask yourself.
Yeah. Because you're right, we know the story. We know the real reporting now. It turns out Caleb's not as bad as everybody thought. Like, right? Like, we know it all. Like, we kind of have it solidified. And so it is nine. It is all about that. And there's a long way. I mean, there's like, that is the fun part. And a lot of craziness could happen on the night of the draft before the Bears are even on the clock. Like, to be able to lead us to, like, this is exactly the way it's going to play out. So that is kind of the story.
Yeah,
now.
But you never know until names start dropping.
Right.
When names start dropping. And, like, whether you see that fourth quarterback get moved up and J.J. McCarthy goes somewhere.
Right.
Somebody's jumping up in front of the Bears at nine. The only reason people are jumping in front of anybody at nine, I believe, is to get the quarterback or to get the receiver they want.
Right.
So those two things. But if somebody comes and takes that fourth quarterback, 1, 2, 3, 4, Joe Alt, 5. Three receivers, 6, 7, and 8. I mean, that's the way it's got to go for the Bears, I think, to move down.
Yeah,
it's
got to
move
8.
Down. Right.
Yeah.
Alt's got to be gone. All three receivers got to be gone. Four in the tight end, and I believe then the Bears are trading out of it. Trying to get somebody to jump up to take Bo Nix, Penix, whoever
Man,
they think
geez.
Might disappear. I
like,
don't know.
You're going to have five quarterbacks in the top 10 potentially?
You don't know. You don't know if there's only one left, if either Nix like, or Penix are left and people are going after him.
You imagine in August, like Penix was coming, like they both had good years 2 years ago, but can you imagine talking about Bo Nix and Michael Penix?
But I think you got Denver.
People moving up to get in the top. I
you've
mean,
got
it,
Denver
crazy.
And Minnesota. are two teams that are sitting there that probably need a young quarterback there.
I think both do.
Yeah.
Well, I think Minnesota definitely does at this
point. Well, that's what I'm trying to tell
you. Hey, Viking Scott's here. I think he wants a young quarterback.
I think he does want a young quarterback.
Sam Darnold ain't any kind of answer.
No, but the Atlanta Falcons instantaneously became the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting.
Doesn't it also feel like we kind of ramp ourselves up for a lot of quarterbacks going at the very top, and then we realize that some teams are actually smarter than we give them credit for, and,
usually.
Kind of wait, and then we get – that's how we get the green room of the quarterback
yes.
that's supposed to be
– Will Levis.
Yeah, that's where you get him sitting there for an entire evening
yeah,
to
and
the
his
next
girlfriend,
day.
His girlfriend's trying to find another quarterback.
Yeah, so like,
oh, come on.
So like
I latched on to the wrong quarterback here.
That's know? Life, right, Yerk? I mean, the quarterback gets the pick, right?
Right.
But so I think we could look at mock drafts right now and say, yeah, we could see four or five going in the top seven picks.
If I'm Penix and Bo Nix, I'm not accepting an invitation.
Right, yeah.
Detroit.
You stay home.
I'm like, no.
Home.
I'm staying out
stay
west.
Stay home.
Yeah, I'll stay out west.
That's
you
interesting.
Know,
like, J.J. McCarthy could be that person.
Yes, he could.
Have the whole family there
could.
In the green room,
right.
and then all of a sudden we're sitting there halfway through the first round, and no one's taking J.J. McCarthy, and there's all this smoke around him.
All the buzz right now. Oh, teams want him. He might go second. 100%, Chris, I think you're right. Like, he could be the guy at 27. He's still sitting there.
Still sitting
And they're like, boy, there's J.J. McCarthy. That is so true.
There was buzz about Malik Willis, if you remember. And
yes,
like,
yes. Charlie's right.
Top five. He went in like the fifth round.
Yeah. Charlie's right.
Yeah, and
from Liberty, right?
Yes, from Liberty.
Yeah.
Yes. That could very easily be J.J. Now, maybe his name will get called by eight. I mean, who knows? But, like, if that scenario is going to play out, I could see it being with J.J. We're going to do the lunch rush coming up next. Jesse will join us to talk baseball in 30 minutes. You can ring us up, too, if you got a baseball prediction. If you want to talk Cubs, Sox, are you mad that the Cubs didn't pursue Jordan Montgomery more? 1 year, $25 million. Like Yurko said, there's some vesting options, but Arizona going in, 1 year, $25 million? Are you a little bit mad that the Cubs didn't? It would have pushed them into that tax threshold that they wanted to avoid, but we'll get after that more with Jesse coming up in 30 minutes. The lunch rush is next.
Welcome back to opening day for the Chicago White Sox. This is the Carmen and Yurko Show.
Live from Cork and Cary at the Park.
Presented by Miller Lite.
And brought to you by Circus Sports.
We are live at Cork and Cary. Having fun for opening day. Beautiful day. Nice
it's
day
a
for
zoo
the opener.
In here today, man.
It's a zoo. On
it's
Monday.
It's an absolute zoo in here. We've got a lot of Detroit fans coming out.
A lot of Detroit fans.
Yeah, they must be. You know, it's a short ride here to Chicago from Detroit.
It is.
And they've got Detroit fans throughout Michigan. So if you're in southwest Michigan and you're a Detroit fan, you're an hour and a half. You're here at the ballpark.
It's
Am I
true.
Correct?
Yeah.
See, 100% correct.
On Monday, we are live on the north side for the Cubs home opener. Remember, Cap and Hoodie kick things off 7 a.m. bright and early
we'll
with their show. And then we're going
to
follow them
10
at
10 to 12:30.
10 to 12:30. We're at Bernie's.
10 to 12:30.
Bernie's. I've been at Bernie's forever.
Bernie's Book Bank.
We're at not Bernie's
We're at the Book Bank.
That's funny.
No, where are we at? Bernie's.
Bernie's.
The bar.
Yes.
Oh, the bar.
In Wrigleyville. Yeah,
right there on Waveland.
That'll be on Monday. But we're here on the south side today.
Or Clark.
We.
Or one of the two.
No, Bernie's is on Clark.
Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clark. I got that right. Clark and Waveland, just a little bit north.
Wrigleyville.
Yes. Yeah. Just say Wrigleyville.
How about that? Let's
if you can't find it, like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Let's do Wrigleyville.
It's
Wrigley.
Not like the old days where you had to bust a map out.
Yeah.
I mean, put it in
Wrigley.
Your phone.
Hey,
you know?
Get the kids some of those bottle openers over there. You never know when they got
to
open
you
up
You never
a
know when they're
going
to have
you know?
To open it up. Exactly.
A bottle of RC Cola, you know? You
All right.
never know.
Let's do the lunch rush. We throw it back to the shop. Charlie Bevins is there. And let's see what we got. We got a lot of great lunch fare right
food,
here.
A lot of food here.
These nachos, I can't stop eating. These nachos are so good.
They're delicious.
They do look good. Nachos, I think. Chris and I talked about it yesterday. It's a perfect food for the most part.
So, nachos are incredible. Yeah, you can't. It's even hard to screw up
I'm
nachos.
Giving away a sandwich. If somebody wants that pretzel bread sandwich,
take it.
It just got delivered here, guys.
Take it. All right, let's do the lunch rush.
Good.
Chardog, what's happening?
All right, so I sent Chris in a picture of ESPN's banner story about opening day. They have four players. It's their big opening day headliner story.
Yeah, it's rock and roll,
four
baby.
Four players. I have no idea who two of them are. I want to see if you guys can name all four.
Well, Framber Valdez.
Huh?
Justin Steele, Zach Gallen, and
the guy from Indy Astros. Yeah.
Zach Gallen, and I'm trying to figure out who the Ranger is right now. The Ranger, right, is it Nathan Eovaldi?
No, that looks like Corey Seager.
That's not Corey Seager.
That is not Corey Seager.
Nate Archibald.
It's not Nate Archibald. Is it Nathan Eovaldi?
Guys, I'm not kidding. It looks like an AI-generated person.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Oh,
I have no idea.
Well, I know who three of them are. I don't know who that Ranger is.
I don't know who the Ranger is either.
Charlie, you don't know who they are?
Yeah, isn't that like a problem with this? Like,
that is. A
oh, I
problem.
Thought you were asking us, and you were seeing. I thought you were.
No, he's got a point to
his
this.
His point is, oh, he doesn't know.
Baseball is. Yeah,
who the hell are these people?
Guys should be instantly recognizable.
Well, I'm assuming they're doing this because they're doing the pitchers that are throwing today.
No, this is just their opening day. Like,
no, stop it.
Story.
If it was, they'd have Shohei and Juan Soto. These are all guys that are pitching today.
So who's the Ranger?
Well, I think it's Nathan Eovaldi.
We think.
Yeah, but we don't know.
Yeah.
My point is, it goes back to the MLB marketing issue of, like, these guys should be instantly recognizable.
Exactly. They should have Nolan Ryan on there.
How are you gonna, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Nolan Ryan.
Why, at least we'd recognize who Nolan Ryan was in his heyday.
It's true.
I guess it speaks to...
I don't know who Jason Eovaldi is.
Like, it's not Jason Eovaldi. The provincial nature of
baseball. You know your guys.
And if it's not Juan Soto or Bryce Harper or Mike Trout or Shohei, people are probably going to struggle. Maybe they should have just went with that.
But
they're going with pitchers that who is pitching
who's
for the Rangers. Yeah, it's Eovaldi. That's Nathan Eovaldi. That's
all right,
who that is.
Click on his picture. Let me see.
Let's confirm this, Carl.
Let's confirm this.
No, that's who it is.
Because this is Nathan Eovaldi.
Yes, it is. Because the other guys are all starting pitchers.
That's Nathan Eovaldi.
We just want to make sure it wasn't AI-generated content.
Now, I watch a lot of baseball, so I know who those guys are. But I'm not shocked if Black looks at it and goes, wait, who are these guys? I mean,
I looked at 35 for the Cubs, and I kind of scratched
my head. No, you should know that.
That's Steele.
Yeah,
that's Justin Steele. That's a pitcher.
It definitely is.
That's a starting pitcher.
That is a great name, by the way, for a starting pitcher, Justin Steele.
He had a great season last year. I know who he is.
Yeah, that one should be obvious. But I think they did it for their two marquee games today in the starters. Now, but again, maybe they should scrap that and just be like, I don't know, who else would you put on? I'm trying to think from those teams. Like,
I don't know.
Who's the most recognizable Cub nationally right now? Bellinger or Swanson, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Maybe you should just be smart about it and put Dansby Swanson on.
Put
there.
The hitters.
He's
a good looking kid.
He's a very good looking kid.
Very handsome.
Very good looking.
You put a bunch of handsome fellas up there, and I think we'll be in pretty good shape, you know?
Yeah.
Guys, I got no idea who the hell they are.
What else, Chardog?
All right, it looks like four NFL teams. So the Lions just announced that they are getting new uniforms April 18th. So there's going to be four
the
teams
Lions?
Getting new. Yeah, April 18th. They're getting new uniforms. They just got new uniforms like a little under 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like, fairly recently.
Listen, guys, we got to sell new jerseys because guys are still wearing Barry Sanders jersey up there.
Who else?
They want people to buy new jerseys.
Who else, Charlie?
It's the Jets, Lions, Broncos, and the Texans released a little sneak peek of theirs like last week or something like that.
Jets, Lions, Texans, and Broncos?
Yeah, and the Jets also just got new uniforms.
I feel like the Broncos aren't that old. Didn't they redo theirs and streamline it a little bit?
They've had those my whole life.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
Wow, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. Jeez.
No, the Broncos, remember, for his life, but remember Randy Gratishard?
Oh, of course, I remember the old one.
They used to have that old helmet.
I remember the old one.
They changed to the new one. It was 96, they probably
changed. Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Elway won the Super Bowl with these.
They won the Super Bowl in those uniforms.
Yeah, 28 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen. I mean, they're still walking around with Rod Smith jerseys out there.
Wow.
You know, you got to change things up so people spend some more money.
The beauty of the Bears uniform is that it doesn't have to change much and that it's classic.
It is classic.
And that, you know, they haven't done a whole lot of tweaking of it over the years.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah, it's kind of unnecessary.
It's like when Cleveland started screwing around with that little leprechaun or whatever that thing is.
Well, they did like the elf. Yeah, the elf is weird.
Elf. Elf, leprechaun, elf. What the hell are you doing?
That's an old school throwback.
It is.
The elf is an original thing.
That's what they tell me. I played that year.
Do you remember the elf?
They gave me the history of it, yeah.
Oh, you do remember.
The Bears the Bears, the Steelers, like those, the Cowboys, like you don't have.
How do you improve upon the Steelers?
You don't have to tweak those.
That was going
to
be my follow up. Like, what are the untouchables? I think the Bears are definitely them. I think Green Bay probably.
Probably
Cowboys, Steelers,
Dallas, Steelers.
The 49ers shouldn't, but they have.
I'm kind of with Chris. I was going to say 49ers.
The Colts. Oh, we got a guy changed his Fields jersey to a Caleb Williams jersey already.
Caleb Williams.
A little bit of artwork. One, he just added the three and just came over the patch with a blue thing and got Williams on the back. We'll send it out to the world.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Everybody's ready. Caleb Williams.
All right, what else we got going on, Charlie?
The Kansas City Chiefs are signing international rugby star Louis Rees-Zammit. He's like... I've seen people saying that he's as fast as Tyreek Hill. I find it hard to believe that there's just some guy out there who's as fast as Tyreek Hill. But I think I always think it's interesting when these rugby guys come over. None of them have really hit, other than I think Jordan Mailata was.
What position is he playing? What's he going to play?
They're going to use him as a gadget guy, it sounds like.
Okay.
So it's
I have no idea who he is.
Because there was a
guy.
Who
did he play for?
He played in Wales, I believe.
Oh, with Wales.
No idea.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, he could be as fast as Tyreek Hill. I mean, there are other athletes in different sports around the world that are. Kylian Mbappe is every bit as fast as.
Oh, yeah, he's lightning speed.
As Tyreek Hill, you know?
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
Boy, did you see Dana White's dopey take on soccer? Boy, Dana White's dopey.
No, what did Dana White have to say about
dopey.
Soccer?
How it's not a sport and they're not athletes because 3-year-olds play soccer. You couldn't be a bigger dope if you tried. Like, I might not the MMA, but like if would I say that those guys are like incredible athletes and they have to train and like, of course you got to be a real dope to say world class soccer players aren't athletes. He's like,
I listen to you,
dopey.
I think Dana White can be very dopey at times.
When it comes to team sports, there's probably no other athlete that is as in as good of shape as soccer players.
And not just that, like, you tell me Mbappe isn't an incredible world-class athlete, or that Modric isn't an unbelievable athlete?
I would say rugby and hockey are also in that realm. There's much more conditioning in soccer, but the amount of muscle and conditioning you need to play rugby is massive.
He's got a lot of dopey takes.
But listen, Dana White.
Yeah,
they put a microphone in front of his mouth, he's got to say something.
Silly.
And sometimes you say things that are intelligent, and sometimes you say really stupid things.
Well, and sometimes people think he's Joe Rogan. So that's there, too. Did you guys see that?
I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know
how.
Did you
see that clip?
I don't see it.
I mean, they're both muscular. They're both...
Jeez.
Balding, I guess, but Joe Rogan is uniquely different than Dana White.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I did not know that.
I'll show you.
I gotta see that. That's funny. All right, Charlie, what else?
Draymond Green ejected 4 minutes into last night's game again. I'll just say it. Like, I just don't like this guy. Like, it's completely selfish at this point. He seems to revel in it when he gets ejected, and it's like, dude, you're getting kicked out of all these games all the time, and you're an important player. Like, when is this going to get through?
And look, they won. If I'm not mistaken, they ended up winning in Orlando. That's a good win shorthanded, because I don't think Kuminga played, right?
They won, yeah.
Yeah, they won, and Kuminga was out. But I did see – I wasn't watching this live. I saw the highlight. I saw Steph Curry. Steph seemed upset. He seemed irritated. He was, like, shaking his head. He seemed a little annoyed.
How can you not be?
I know.
Afterwards, like, when he's asked about it, he made a point to say, you have to be out on the court.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're sick of it.
Steve Kerr was like, yeah, he deserved it. Like, he's over it.
You know, the thing about it, though, is like, and I don't think they're aging. I don't expect them to make a deep playoff run, but Draymond is still so integral to their playoff success.
Right.
In a way. You know, like, in Kuminga's emergence has helped, but Draymond still, when he's right and when Draymond's on the floor, he's instrumental to a lot of things that team does offensively and defensively.
He's a great passer.
Yes.
He's still very good on defense.
Yes.
The Rockets might catch them, though.
Wow.
You know, saying that they're automatically going to get into the play.
Is it getting that close?
It's like a game and a half.
Because the Rockets have played better.
The Rockets have been
hot. And without Şengün, Rockets have played better. Wow. All right, what else, Charlie? Anything else?
Sweet 16 starting tonight. This is kind of what a lot of people have been talking about. Like, this is going to be a fun Sweet 16 just because all the good teams are still in.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? And coming up, I'm going to maybe pick Yurko's brain about that for a few minutes before we talk to Jesse.
I'm
excited. Can do that. Sweet 16 is back tonight. Illinois is the late game tonight. Look forward to that. This is definitely a two-TV night with opening day around baseball. And the Cubs are going to be on national TV in Texas for the championship ceremony and the banner raising in Texas tonight. And then four games, including the Illini, playing the late game. I'll pick Yurko's brain on that a little bit coming up. Jesse joins us at 2. That's the Lunch Rush. We're live at Cork and Carey with Miller Lite. Come by and see us if you're going to the Sox game. We'll be right back.
Miller Lite welcomes you to Cork and Carey at the Park, the White Sox opening day live broadcast. This is the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
All right, we're live at Cork and Carey. We love this place. It's Carmen Yurk. Lex with us here. Chris, you're on tonight, right?
After, yes, sir.
Post game? After the game?
Yeah, after the game, after Waddle and Sylvie. I'll be with Tyler Aki.
You and Tyler, all right. Yeah. How about Tyler until 8 tonight?
There's no show that, we're going to really break down opening day in Major League Baseball.
As well you should.
6:30 to 8 tonight.
The Tyreek Scoobel, matchup.
I'm calling it the post game show.
Post show, yeah.
Post show.
Well, Tyler was a little hot yesterday at his beloved Cubs for not going after Jordan Montgomery. So he might want to.
I heard that.
He might want to talk to you a little bit about it, Chris.
All right. All right.
You're going to have
It's opening day. Come
it's
on.
It's opening day.
The greatest day in sports, so I'm told.
I don't know about that. The Sweet 16 returns. It's very chalky. It's very blue bloody. It's mostly deviated from that in recent years, but we kind of got back to the big dogs all making the second weekend, Yurk. Your general thoughts on today. Purdue plays tomorrow. Purdue's look great. They look like Virginia a few years ago on a mission after being embarrassed a year ago.
Yeah, they do. And that's because the other guys are really picking it up, too.
Yeah.
When Edie establishes himself underneath number 3 and 4 and the rest of the guys, I don't even know their names, I just know the numbers, they've been able to play well. They hit a 47% clip from the 3-point line in their last game to kind of make that a laugh for against Utah State. You know, every game you get out there, you got to reestablish yourself and exactly what you're going to be able to do. But Purdue does look strong.
Connecticut. They look good.
Connecticut looks strong.
Yurko, wow, my God.
I think the game of the night for me is going to be.
Tonight?
Yeah, Illinois-Iowa State.
Okay, that's the last one. Is that a beauty? This is offense meets defense, right, Yurko?
It is offense meets defense. We talked to Viking Scott a little bit earlier, and he told you how they've got three guys that could possibly handle the new guy, Shannon?
Shannon.
Yeah, the new guy, Shannon, from Illinois. They got three guys that can guard him. They're going to play a defense. Okay, they've been pretty good with Shannon. They've been an exceptional team. I think they've won 9 out of the last 10.
Yeah, they've been great. Nine. Illinois has played its best basketball.
As has Iowa State.
Yeah.
Played some of their best basketball late. So I think that night game is going to be an absolute beauty, and I'm going to make sure I stay up for that one. I have a tendency to go to bed early.
This one you're staying up for, right?
I shut my eyes, I go to sleep. Not for this one. I'm going to stay up, and I'm going to watch this bad boy. Yeah, but and I don't know what the rest of the schedule holds tonight. I can't.
Clemson tonight. North Carolina's tonight. Viking Scott said North Carolina's going to run away from Bama. What do you think?
I think that's going to happen. Bama plays loosey goosey.
Yeah.
And the best two players on the court belong to North Carolina.
Yes, I would agree.
So look
probably
for that cream rise to the top.
I don't even know much about Alabama, but North Carolina's top two are
Alabama
good.
Plays the most reckless, wild style of basketball you can have.
Really?
I think that doesn't bode well for them tonight when they play North Carolina. And Clemson's got who?
Clemson has, what would that game
Clemson
be?
Clemson beat up on Baylor.
Arizona. Clemson,
night.
Arizona.
Yeah, I think Arizona comes back. You know, Arizona was a disappointment last year also.
And they've looked pretty good.
Right, and they've looked pretty good. You get fed a little humble pie last year.
Yes.
That's a bitter memory that kind of lasts for the rest of the offseason and into this season. So I think they've positioned themselves well. This year to be able to come in as a number 2 seed, and they've taken care of business. That's what they're doing. They're taking care of business. So I don't mind the chalkiness that we have.
You don't mind it?
Yeah, and I think Cinderella's, whatever was happening with the 11 that got through, I think reality comes crashing down upon you.
I mean, tonight, Clemson, Arizona, 2-6. UConn, San Diego State, 1-5. North Carolina, Bama, 1-4. Iowa State, Illinois, 2-3.
Yeah. I mean, it's been
and tomorrow's not much different. I mean, it is. It's turned out to be very chalky this year. NC State's the outlier
as the
11th seed this year. Usually you figure one's going to make it. But Duke and Houston, both top 4 seeds, you know, a 1 seed and a 4 seed.
And Gonzaga's the one that slipped through. But anybody that remembers at the beginning of the tournament,
everybody said McNeese State or Gonzaga. Whoever wins that game is going to get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, that's true. What did I hear on Gonzaga? The stat now is for how many consecutive years in the Sweet 16? Aren't they on some unbelievable run?
8 years. Eight straight years.
Is that what
years,
it is? Like eight straight years in the Sweet 16?
The Sweet 16.
That's pretty
And Gonzaga
incredible.
Beat up on a weakened Kansas team.
That's true. A beat up Kansas
team. But everybody knew whichever team made it out of that first game between Gonzaga and McNeese was going to be the team that was going to be in the Sweet 16.
Creighton, now, Tennessee tomorrow. Said you're looking forward to that 2-3, right. That last game.
Tomorrow.
That's the case tomorrow, too. Right. That Creighton, Tennessee game, I think, is intriguing.
Is that the late one, too?
That's the last game tomorrow night.
Both of the late ones are the premier games.
Yes, they're the premier games.
Of Thursday and Friday. Now, yeah. I think Houston Duke's going to be wonderful.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good game. I think Houston's just too good.
Too good?
Too good for Duke.
Too senior, too good.
Too senior, too good. Yeah, and that's just the way it is.
I like Houston.
I saw Duke play at the beginning of the day. Yeah, Ookla.
Oh, is that the women's team? And the women's team is in the Sweet 16? The Ookla?
I didn't know that.
I don't know that either.
I don't know who's in the Sweet 16.
I watch Caitlin Clark. That's it.
Is that all you watch?
That's all I watch. I watch Caitlin Clark.
I don't watch much of that.
I watch Caitlin. She's worth it. She's worth the price of admission. She's
a little salty. Well, she's saltier than the average bear.
That's all right.
That news was admitted by Ice Cube.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, Ice Cube, the $5 million offer. They go, it was supposed to be a private offer. But now that it's out there, yes, we absolutely acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Now, I got a little tip from one of my guys down in Indianapolis, a fellow countryman of mine, who said Caitlin Clark's boyfriend works for the Indiana Pacers.
Really? Okay.
So there you go.
How convenient for Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, so.
Works in what capacity? Business ops?
I was not given the exact location of what his job entails or the job description.
I'd be interested
to find
out.
I was just giving it a heads up that Caitlin Clark's boyfriend works in Indianapolis for the Colts.
Did you guys hear what Big Cat told Walker Silva yesterday?
No.
Portnoy offered $10 million.
Wow. For what?
For her to join Barstool as a player in their intramural league.
They're doing like an intramural league?
Yeah. What is that? I mean,
well, $10 million.
That's unbelievable.
You tell me someone can't play in the WNBA and then also play intramurals?
I guess.
Can't they play intramurals during the winter? WNBA plays in the summer.
They play in the summer. That's true.
It works for the Pacers. I might have said the Colts.
No, you said Pacers.
You said Pacers.
Yeah. I started mixing the two teams up, and I'm like, all right, let me go back to my.
Big Cat was talking about $10 million.
Yeah.
From Barstool.
What do you think?
What can we pair?
She is one of the biggest stars in all of sports already.
Yeah, she's one of the biggest basketball stars in this country, without a doubt.
No,
maybe
sports.
In sports.
In sports in this country right now.
She's that marketable.
I think so.
I don't disagree. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Jesse. We're live at Cork and Carry at the Park. We'll be back in 2 minutes.